There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this standalone episode of NFL Friday. Brendan Shorey here with Griffin Stevenson, Vanessa Casuda, Joe Henry, El Jefe, for how long? Maybe the next, is this the last day, Joe? This might be, we can't hear him.
He's sports manager, but he doesn't know to switch probably to B.
I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, May 2nd is the day that Tucker takes over.
I believe it's May 3rd, actually.
Is it? We can't hear anything you say back there, Joe. But nearing the end of the Joe Henry regime, was he using the wrong mic? He might have been using the wrong
one. It's May 3rd at 2 a.m.
There we go.
Okay, so you are in your last couple of days here. But a lot to break down here.
Whoa, guys, I'm also in my last couple of days as an assistant, right?
You are in your last couple of days.
God, it's been so busy.
Assistants named yet. That's why I say. But that said, a lot to break down in the NFL draft. Our last episode came right after the Super Bowl. Those of us that were at the Super Bowl did that episode, and our next episode after this won't be until the next season is about to start, at least.
Wow.
If you tuned in, we did do a live draft show until about pick 12, give or take a couple of picks in there after we had a very long rant from Tucker Austin about the Giants picks, which we will get into.
I want to know what Tucker said. That's
he also
what
was,
I'm curious about.
He spoke a lot about Mike Vrabel, too, in that live show, unfortunately.
He did. At the beginning, before the draft started, that's where the conversation went. But then once we were wrapping it, we let Tucker have his, I think it went on for like 5 minutes.
Seriously?
Full rant about the Giants. Basically, it was about the Giants passing on downs.
Well, I will get into my thoughts about that soon. I mean, like, I'm not mad at, like, we'll get into it, but I'm not mad about it, but we'll talk about it.
I think we go chronologically here, and we start with kind of, we'll focus on the New York team, so you won't have to wait long for that. But the Jets taking David Bailey at 2, a pick that the day of, the odds between Bailey and Arvell Reese were shifting a lot. There was one point during the day for both of them in which they were favored to be the number 2 pick to the Jets. Ended up being David Bailey. And I think, Griffin, correct me if I'm wrong, we did agree that that's kind of what we thought, but we didn't like the pick. We thought they should have gone with Arvell Reese.
Yeah, I think the Jets, honestly, listen, I think David Bailey's a fine pick. I think he actually is a little bit more NFL ready. And I'm in the minority here on their other pick in the first round. A lot of Jets fans weren't happy about Kenyon Sadiq just because you're kind of...
Spent a second rounder on Mason Taylor last year.
Yeah, but I think Kenyon Sadiq, we throw this word around a lot with Kyle Pitts, and it's kind of a meme, but I actually do... I think he's a near unicorn in the sense that I think he's one of the most athletic players in this draft, great tight end, and I think is very heavily underrated at his pass blocking ability. But then I think the Jets really nailed it, honestly, in the second round. And then late first, I like Amari Cooper Jr. actually for them. I think them trading up makes a lot of sense. Getting him is a good snag. And then I really like the Jandrell Pons pick because they need help there at cornerback.
I love Pons. Actually, like I was so high on him, I honestly thought he could have been a first-round pick. He's just small. That's the issue. But yeah. I do love that pick.
That's such a frog take. I love Pons. You know the meme of the meme where it's like the I love berries and honey, and it's like the bear behind the keyboard.
Uh-huh.
That's like you. I love the pawns, frog, but it's a keyboard. Yeah, the frog behind the keyboard.
He's looking back at me for validation.
No, because I just like to see Joe's reaction when I say these things.
Looking back with a smile on his face.
Yeah, this wall is blocking my view of Joe, which is fine. I mean, look, I was pretty surprised by the David Bailey pick. I thought they were going to go Arvel Reese. They picked him, and I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's crazy. But, you know, he was a beast for Texas Tech, and, you know, I thought they had such a dominant defense last year. So, like, he really, like, took a lot from that. So I'm hoping, you know, for Jets fans' sake that, like, their picks won't be total busts, you know? The point, like, they need a lot of help. So if anything can just pick them up a little bit, like, that would be huge for them.
Well, the whole point of them not taking Arvel Reese is because Reese is more of a project.
Yeah.
But are the Jets also not, as a team?
A whole
are they, are they also not
saying
a project?
Like, I also just think, here's the thing, because they have so many things to work on as an organization, as a team, like, I don't even think they could take on another project if they tried. And also, from a developmental standpoint, I don't even know if they would even be able to help Reese, you know, develop. I just think because they have so many, they're basically just doing, like, whack-a-mole right now, you know? So I don't even think they would even be able to help Arvel Reese develop with, meanwhile, the Giants kind of, I feel like they can. But, you know, we won't know until the actual season starts.
I think looking at this from the Jets' point of view, I like the safe picks only because I actually think they understand that they got to be good soon.
Yeah.
But to me, it looks like they're just getting guys that next year, when they're probably still a top three pick, and probably, in my opinion, if I had to do a way too early prediction, drafting like Dylan Gabriel, then it's like, all right,
yeah,
how many games can we win?
Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. Dylan Gabriel will probably be the first. Dante Moore, not Dylan Gabriel.
Okay. Dylan Gabriel's on the Browns
right
now.
Dylan Gabriel's on the Browns and not very good. No, Dante Moore. And so it'll probably turn into how many games then can we win with Dante Moore and give the fans something to hope for. But yeah, next year, I mean, there's a lot of teams that I think recognize that QB year is next year. And so
it's going to be a very exciting year.
We say that every year. No, I saw a post recently. We were saying that last year, too.
What, for this year?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even think this year was going to be...
Between Klubnik and Nussmeier and, like, those guys sitting at the top.
We'll talk about Nussmeier later.
We were talking about Arch in this draft. Like, we were talking about a lot of these, like, big names going to be in this draft, and then Klubnik fell off.
I think the best two quarterbacks in the draft next year will be Dante Moore and Trinidad Chambliss, personally.
Is Arch Manning going to go in the draft
next year?
Yeah,
he will, but I don't think he's... I think he's going to get a GM fired, personally.
That's a crazy take.
He's not good.
He is.
He's not good.
He is. He took so many big steps during this season.
Yeah, against, like, ECU.
No, towards the end of the season, against SEC opponents.
Mm. I think next year,
Trinidad not better against SEC opponents?
Trinidad is older than him.
Doesn't matter.
Trinidad is applying for an extra year of eligibility.
So is Dante Moore.
Yeah, and Dante Moore is better, yeah. I'd say right now,
Dante Moore is probably Heisman favorite, no?
I guarantee they're probably going to give it to Arch.
He'd have to have a great season.
Anyone does to win the Heisman.
I don't know. He's got to have a great season. I also just think maybe the name will give him a little bit of favor. Like, I think it'll just make, like, really good headlines. But I think just this year, the season coming up will just be very telling for a lot of guys going into the draft next year, you know, and that's the same thing that really happened this year with, like, Mendoza and all of that. Like, yeah, he was great, you know, but I don't even know if he was even in Heisman conversation going into
Mendoza
the year.
Mendoza wasn't on anyone's draft board.
No, and Mendoza's, right. Mendoza's great. Again, though, that Indiana team, God, maybe I am just a hater deep down. I do think it's kind of ridiculous that, I mean, anyone can win when your entire D-line is comprised of 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not... college football is just cooked.
Yeah, you still got to score points.
No, you do, for sure. But his average field position against Oregon was, like, the entire first half was, like, Oregon's 30-yard line. and it was kind of over before it started.
Oh yeah, yeah. After
Dante Moore played horrible.
He played. That's probably why he stayed. You know, he was projected to go to the Jets.
No, I still think he would. He probably still Dante Moore probably still goes to the Jets if he enters the draft.
Probably.
I think it was more
I don't
Jets,
disagree with that.
I think it was more of a Jets dodging fifth year, honestly.
And yet, odds are, maybe he ends up there next year.
Yeah, he will.
Like, but also, I part of me thinks the Jets will probably have the first pick of the draft.
I think the Cardinals will have the first pick of the draft.
Which we should talk about the Cardinals, though, with Jeremiah Love. I had a feeling, but I'm not sure I totally love it.
Oh, sorry, guys. What am I saying? No, Dante Moore is going to be a Dolphin. The Dolphins will have the first pick.
Oh, yeah.
The Dolphins are far and away the worst team in the NFL.
With Malik Willis at quarterback?
Yes.
They will win games. They'll win more.
It doesn't matter.
They'll win more than the Cardinals.
No. Their weapons are so
bad. Are you telling me you're going to take
Jacoby
Brissett?
They also had a really bad draft.
I was sitting there, and I was just like, how could you you know you're in a really crappy position. How could you not be smarter?
Yeah, Proctor was also kind of a risky pick. They're the worst team in the NFL, by the way.
Are you telling me that you're going to take Jacoby Brissett and Jeremiah Love over Malik Willis?
Yeah,
because
they have Trey McBride. They still have a good secondary. They have Marvin Harrison Jr. They have they have Wilson.
Good secondary.
Yeah, they have some good young corners, and they have decent safeties. The Cardinals are bad, and they'll be the worst in the NFC West. But I just don't think they're bad enough to be the worst team in the NFL.
I think they're at the bottom five.
They'll probably be top three. They'll probably be where they are. I bet they'll be third. Honestly,
my prediction is going to be that it's the Dolphins, Jets, and the Cardinals as the top three for next year. I just think that the Dolphins and Jets could be pretty interchangeable of who ends up having the first pick.
Yeah, I think honestly, we can talk about really quickly. We should talk about New York Giants. No.
Yeah. I have my thoughts.
You want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I suppose. I mean, look, I'm not mad. It wasn't how I expected how the draft was going to go. You know, I thought that they were going to get Downs and a wide receiver in the first round. I wasn't too upset about the Arvell Reese pick. I wasn't upset about it. I think I was more disappointed in the fact that they picked an O-lineman, which the Giants do need, to be fair.
I think the Arvell Reese pick is not the worst pick in hindsight, especially
if
they
when they picked Arvell Reese. No, and I'm a Cowboys fan.
Just
because y'all took Arvell Reese.
I think at five is good pick. It's just they have a lot of edge rushers. And also, if they got Arvell Reese and Caleb Downs, which could have happened,
I know.
Then it's a different story.
No, they could have got Sonny Styles and Caleb Downs.
No, but I think Arvell Reese still is probably better. I mean, they need positionally Sonny Styles more, but
yes.
Arvell Reese, I wouldn't be surprised if they move on. I do think they're going to get rid of Thibodeau. I think it's kind of a smokescreen, but the Francis Maiagoa pick is the one that's really confusing to me because also Arvell Reese, you already got to fit him in the position, but Maiagoa has a bad back, and they said they're still going to play him at tackle, but they kind of drafted him to be a converted guard, and I just. A converted guard with a bad back is not a good.
No,
is not a
it's
good.
Not good.
I wonder if they would have picked Fano if the Browns didn't take Fano. The pick.
I think they had to scramble with that pick. But I still think that I don't really know if they really should have. I mean, they need O-linemen. They do. I mean, especially with how concussion prone Jackson Dart is, and even just injury prone
slide.
In general.
And maybe he should just slide. Yeah.
Well, he went into concussion protocol after a really hard sack too last year, but that could have just been being safe. But I just think that they do need a lot more help in the secondary than they realized. But,
Maiagoa is a great pick. Arvell Reese is a great value pick. They got to figure out where to fit him. But you're going to leave a generational talent and Downs on the board. For the Cowboys to take.
Can I say something about Maiagoa before we move on from the Giants? Do you know the number one thing that he did, which is which is the thing I can immediately tell if you're going to be a bust as an offensive lineman?
What?
Please tell me.
He did the Will Campbell, where he's like, I'm going to die for my quarterback. I'm going to lay my life out on the line.
Please. Will Campbell has played 1 year.
No, I know, but I just don't. Maybe
you
not
can't
bust.
You cannot but call just him
like,
a bust.
Well, not a bust, but just like, I don't like that. It's one of those things where it's like, it's the same thing when a skill position player's like, they are like, they made a mistake. The people who drafted, like, the four guys above me made a mistake.
I should have been drafted higher.
Yeah.
They made a mistake.
It's like, all right, dude.
Yeah.
The only, like, notable one that did that is Amon Ra.
Yeah.
And
Will
he was
Campbell
right.
said, my quarterback's, I'm going to die for my quarterback. And he had his quarterback in the Super Bowl being asked by their head coach, do you want to continue with 36 at the game? Because he was getting beat up so hard.
He's a rookie.
I think
he was a rookie.
No, I know, but still.
Give him time.
I also think the Patriots are just cursed, man. Especially after the...
I know you want to hop in, Joe.
No, it's not a curse. It's,
no offense,
it's not
Joe,
a curse. It's
but
what happens
I think
when
they
you have
are
a glorified
because
this
curse
is awesome.
No, it's not a curse.
The
Patriots are not cursed. That's just what happens in a Super Bowl when you have the best defensive coach in the NFL playing against a glorified cheerleader who doesn't call plays on either end of the football. That's what happens. You can watch. Defensive coordinator is going to watch that Seahawks defensive game plan for the
Should
next like
it?
10 years. It's true, Joe. You guys got absolutely cooked.
I'm saying more of the after the fact stuff, like Stephon Diggs and Cardi B, which that was happening a little bit before.
Well, they knew Stephon Diggs was a problem anyway.
Yeah, the defensive end that had like the allegations against
How
him.
How did we get here?
Well, it's a bad organization in and out.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it's a curse. It's just what happens when you have the crafts.
Bad
as your
organization in and out. Joe, how many rings do you guys have?
Oh, you have rings, but
since I was born, six.
Yeah, bad organization. Listen, I hate the Patriots because of how much they win, as much as anyone else.
No, maybe not
but
bad.
But I'm never going to call them
maybe
a bad
not,
organization.
Maybe not bad. I would say a morally corrupt organization. They've had six rings since Joe was born.
Morally, they bring
and
rings.
They've had five.
No, I think three or four.
They get rings.
They've had just had the same amount of controversies,
Yeah, three or four
too.
Of those rings are tied to controversies. Also, their owner has some crazy controversies. Yeah, everyone around them.
They have more controversies than they do rings.
Separate the art from the artist.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll put
something
that
I don't
bed.
Actually believe.
I don't know. They also, I mean, Lomu's a good pick. They definitely for the Patriots.
Hold on. Before we move on from the Giants, we do have to talk about the whole Leak Neighbors thing.
Yeah.
How he was preaching. We're going to get Caleb Downs. He's a great player. I don't want to play against him. And then it was Matty Goin.
On Bleacher Report's
like,
live stream, by the way. Shout out Shill for the company that I work for. That's good. Micah Parsons, part owner of Bleacher Report.
Don't mutter his name.
Dude, I've been in his office.
Do not say his name.
That's a bad thing
my
now.
Thing.
He's a terrible player.
No, he's a great player.
I just was sitting there and watching him just like yap. And I'm just like, dude. You're going to get yourself into some trouble here.
He was digging and digging and digging his own hole.
Like, he was digging a hole. And, like, I'm saying that as a Giants fan. I was just like, dude, like, please. I'm like, just please stop talking. You're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
It's on his agent.
It's on both of them.
He also just don't.
Dude's got to have the common sense.
I also just think, I mean,
even the
I shouldn't say this because they are the company I work for.
After Downs was drafted.
I shouldn't say this because he's a great talent to get on a company I work for, but maybe not the best idea. Just don't have your star wide receiver. Why would you put him in that position?
Put him on after the pick.
Or yeah, just put him
let
on.
Let him go after he knows who it is that gets selected, and not during the pick where he's hyping up another player, and then someone else gets drafted, and now he's got a whole like backtrack. And
no, it wasn't even that though. Like, he was even like ranting about the fact that Downs went to Dallas.
I actually think the worst. No, but I think the worst thing though was when they drafted Arvel Reese, and he said, "Where does he play?"
Yeah.
Did you see Arvel Reese's interview afterwards?
No.
Where they asked him, like, who are you most excited for, like, to play with on the Giants? And he probably took 30 seconds to think of anyone who played for the Giants.
And he said Jackson Dart, right?
Yeah, he said Dart, but he took 30 seconds to think of a single player on the Giants.
Which, if you're an edge rusher, by the way, you should probably choose a defensive player that you're excited to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Because you're technically not playing with.
The best answer would have been Dexter Lawrence. Mm-hmm. He's gone.
There's so many other people.
They traded Dexter Lawrence for Maya Goa.
Yeah.
Which, that, like, now that I see that, I'm just like, you told him he could walk, right? You let him walk. You let him, you know, you traded him. And then you pick up, like, you had to, I think they should have used that pick better. But I'm still, like, I'm not thrilled about it, but I'm not mad about it either. Like, I'm just very conflicted about it, if that makes sense.
Can we talk? All right, Brendan, I think. Floor is yours to talk about the Cowboys, I mean, I think it's a great pick, and it's the actually the only position of need you guys really like.
That made the entire draft, whatever else we did with our picks, we could have taken, could have reached on every other pick. That made the draft so worth it. We got our safety in Downs, who now we can run, I don't know, kind of similar to what the Seahawks did this last year, Griffin, defensively, a lot of nickel with Downs as kind of that nickel guy. And then we also ended up getting
Malik. He's good. He's not Eamon Worry, though.
Oh, please. He's a generational talent.
Yeah, I'd like to see him show me. When he puts up Eamon Worry production.
Yeah, you will see it this year.
I'll eat my words. I think they're just... I think
that is just such a homer take.
You guys are great, but I don't think your guys' defensive play calling is as good as will be as good as Seattle.
New DC coming in, Christian Parker, defensive backs guy.
Yeah, it's against Mike McDonald who.
I know, but give him a year. It took Mike McDonald how long to get to this point? A few years.
Well, no, he was always good.
He was always a good defensive coordinator.
When he was on the Ravens, he held Mahomes Chiefs to 0 points in the second half.
Yeah, he was always a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Cowboys.
Great pick.
I think the Cowboys will win the division. So
I think so too.
I think so too.
I think the Eagles are bad. I think the Eagles. They got like, dude. I'm sorry, and I'm
AJ Brown's gone soon.
I'm a skinny guy, but dude, their wide receivers are like tiny.
I said this after the draft, and I genuinely believe it. Neither Devontae Smith nor Mekhi Lemon are wide receiver one talents.
No, they're not.
They're not.
And also, I think
they're too small.
And with all the reporting coming out, I think Jalen Hurts knows this is, if he doesn't play well, this is his last year as an Eagle. Like, that's kind of been reported, and I think that might mess with them. That team is in trouble, I think, honestly. I think the Eagles have the opportunity.
They just seem like they're not on the same page.
They're not. Well, luckily.
No one on that team has been for years.
Luckily for the Eagles,
they managed to make a. The one year that they were kind of on the same page was the Super Bowl year. Luckily, that was it.
Luckily for the Eagles,
I got two.
Luckily for the Eagles, I will say is that the reporter that is known for spreading a lot of those stories about their dysfunction in the media no longer has a job. So
yeah.
So
what's her name, Griffin?
It's not Diana Taurasi. It's Diana Rossini.
Yep. I knew he was waiting to mention the name.
I heard she got a new job at J.P. Morgan, Brendan.
That might not be an on-air topic.
No, it's not. But I didn't say anything that can't be on air.
No, you didn't. I apologize.
You see the reporting, by the way? Sorry, I had to say this, that she maybe didn't save that person from the car crash now, all of a sudden.
She hit the person from a car crash?
That was like the story that came out like after this second wave of stuff. And then now the New York Post is like, yeah, eyewitness said she didn't save anyone. I feel so bad for her, man.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
Hold on. One more time. You feel so bad for...
I feel so bad for her. I mean, she did what she did, but like, dude, it would suck. Like, we have some empathy.
There it is. You have no empathy for Vrabel in his situation.
Yeah, I don't have any empathy. Vrabel knew it. That's the power dynamics.
I just want to get the facts out there.
The power dynamics on Vrabel, bro.
Just want to get the facts out there.
I also find it so funny that... He was like, I'm going to seek counseling the third day of the draft, not one or two, the third day. So everyone's like, bro, your family's not as important as the first 2 days in the draft. That's crazy.
My favorite is when he got caught up in the airport on his way back buying his wife a blue hoodie. And then someone found a photo of Diana Rossini also wearing a very similar blue hoodie. And then also the leaked Spotify playlist. That she sent him, which is also which funny, like
turning the page.
No, like disregarding all of the like whatever the cheating. I just want to point out that it was a horrible playlist. And if I was the head coach and I was on a 4-game losing streak, and that was the playlist I got sent, I think I'd go on to lose probably about like 4 more games. It's a very bad playlist. Very bad playlist.
Well, let's reel it back in here. Back to the draft. Vanessa, you were wanting to talk about that number 13 pick, Ty Simms into the Rams.
Yeah, so it's really funny. So the 13th pick is the reason why I even texted Joe in the first place to be like, yo, can we do a draft podcast? Like, please, like this is like something that needs to be talked about. Because there is a lot of controversy around it. First and foremost, the fact that they picked a QB at 13 in the first round.
They told Stafford the day of, too, that they were going to.
Allegedly. Okay. Even then, they didn't need to do that. That's first and foremost, right? They could have picked someone day two. They did not need to waste their first round draft pick on a quarterback that's going to be a backup for them.
They should have taken Sadiq.
Yes.
He's not going to be a backup for them for long. Okay. He's gonna learn under Stafford.
He's gonna learn under Stafford.
And then 2 years
okay.
from now, he's gonna be starting.
Do you really think he's gonna be? Because look, Stafford's yes. coming off of an MVP year. Tom Brady. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. But Tom Brady showed that it's possible for a quarterback to be playing until they're 45.
Not everyone wants to do that.
Maybe not. But you don't know what you know. You don't know what's going through Stafford's head. It's also a delicate situation because. He's supposed to be getting a contract extension with a lot of money.
It's a horrible. Okay, it was a pick by Les Snead, their GM. First of all, I think it's clear Matthew Stafford and not Mike Vrabel. Oh my gosh,
Sean McVay
are very, very.
They're
dude,
boys.
He lives rent free in your head right now.
Yeah, they're
Vrabel does.
But no, they're boys.
They're very good. They're very good friends outside of this. From the post draft interview, you could tell that this is very much a GM pick. Also, I think. It was a GM pick because I've said this. Sean McVay's tenure with the Rams is tied to Matthew Stafford's tenure with the Rams, in my opinion. I think when Matthew Stafford is gone, I think Sean McVay will also leave and go to a new team. I think very much.
Because he gets fired or because he wants to
no,
leave?
No, I think he voluntarily. I think
voluntarily leaves.
I think he voluntarily
I agree.
Leaves.
I 1,000% agree with that.
I think he'll want a new challenge. I think he likes Stafford a lot. And so to me, this seemed like a GM securing his future in a certain extent. It just doesn't make sense because it's how to blow a Super Bowl window 101. They need corners, and they needed perhaps another tight end.
Yeah,
they had Sadiq on the board. They could have traded back and got a good corner. They could have gone corner in the second round. They decided to go tight end in the second round, which they did. Which they got a tight end last year, mm-hmm. early on in the draft. I don't think Matthew Stafford honestly, in my opinion, he's in the bottom half of NFL quarterbacks that I think that strike me as teaching quarterbacks.
What?
Yeah, I don't think
he just won an MVP.
Yeah, but
that's individual
that
effort though. That's not teaching.
Like,
he didn't
I would
win
say,
an MVP
like,
for teaching.
I would say there's a lot of factors that go with. For example, like I'd put like Kirk Cousins for me is like one of if not the quarterback that's why I like the Mendoza him being with Mendoza. Because he's a journeyman quarterback.
What does Kirk Cousins have that Matthew Stafford doesn't that would make him a better teacher?
He has a lot more.
So I can tell you what Matt Stafford has that Cousins doesn't.
He had a lot more adversity experience. He has a lot more.
Are you kidding? Did you watch Stafford
also,
play in
Stafford's
Detroit?
Not a very
Did you watch Stafford play in Detroit?
Matthew Stafford's a very Hollywood guy. Matthew Stafford's not like a. Matthew Stafford is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. You could Matthew Stafford does. Matthew Stafford.
You just hate him because he's in your division.
No, Matthew Stafford's a great quarterback. I just genuinely don't think he like Matthew Stafford has veneers that you could see from their asshole space station. He's doing
what
sleep.
Does that mean?
He's doing sleep number commercials.
What is veneers?
Matthew Stafford is closer to Tom Cruise than he is to Kirk Cousins when it comes to teaching someone how to be a quarterback. He's a Hollywood guy, bro. I don't. Also,
Ty Simpson's
a different quarterback than Matthew Stafford. Ty Simpson is horrible. He makes plays. He makes easy plays look extremely difficult when he was at Alabama. He is not a guy. That you can understand, like I don't get why people are saying he's going to play sooner rather than later. I think
they're both pocket passers.
He's lucky. If he's okay, then I can name about 50 pocket passers. You know what I'm saying? I think Nussmeier's better than Ty Simpson, honestly. And I think I can't believe he fell so far. I just don't get the pick. I think he's horrible. The Rams fans don't get the pick. Rams fans think he's bad.
Yeah,
he's playing against
Brenda Song, who's like the Rams' number one fan, is even saying.
And I'm not being a homer, but like genuinely. Okay, let's say Ty Simpson starts in 2 years. Ty Simpson against, like, Seahawks defense? Like, that's going to be atrocious.
You can even say I don't even know how good the 49ers defense is going to be this year, but, like, in 2 years from now, you never know. But I'm going to look at two sides of the ball here. I feel multiple factors, really, not just the two sides. So, first and foremost, I feel for Rams fans because they deserve better. I feel for the team because they didn't need another quarterback. Also, Ty Simpson should not have been drafted that high. I'm sorry. He should not have been drafted that high.
It's a waste of a pick. I don't think.
It was a waste of a pick. I think he was a second round pick or low first round.
Yeah. Also, they draft Reuben Bain in that. If they draft Reuben Bain right there with the 13th pick, that's Super Bowl window pretty much locked. I think that is them winning the. I already had them honestly as my favorites from the Super Bowl. I had them as the one seed. I just think this is a horrible cultural. Like, I just don't get this. It makes no sense. They could have got Reuben Bain and then a corner in the second round and filled every position of need that they could have possibly had. Have probably the best wide receiver in the NFL. One of, if not the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and one of the best, if not the best, offensive mind in the NFL. So, and then
I agree.
They could have really ran with everything and made the division sweat, but then you waste your two first round picks, open the door, and now, honestly, not even biased, I have the Seahawks winning the division. I think they
not
did.
Not even biased?
No, I just don't think they. I had the Rams before the draft being far and away the NFC one seed and winning the NFC West, and I just think. They completely left the door open, and I just don't.
I agree.
I just don't see. The issue is, but they didn't improve. They didn't improve at all.
It was so obvious, also, that there was vulnerability in the defensive area.
Yeah, their front
going
court.
But I'm even saying from just the playoffs alone, you almost lose to the Bears. Now the Bears were good, but like they weren't like you know they were early exits, right? It was a close game against the Seahawks, and it really could have gone either way. And the part that kind of, you know, made them lose their chances was the fact that their defense was not the strongest defense.
They got rid of Durant. They bring in, what's his name, from the Chiefs?
Trent McDuffie.
Yeah. Which,
that's a corner one right there.
He's not a top five. He's not a top five corner in the NFL.
I'd say top 10, though.
Yeah, he's a top 10.
Absolutely top 10.
Who is good, coming out of injury, also is I do think it makes a lot of sense for them, but I will say, and I think this is a widely agreed upon opinion, they did kind of overpay for him. They gave up a lot for Trent McDuffie.
And then they signed him to an extension.
Yeah, but they still gave up
a
lot.
They gave
him
a lot of money.
They gave him a lot of money, and they gave up a lot of picks.
They didn't give up near as much as the Colts gave up for Sauce.
Yeah, but then we saw how that turned out for the Colts. So, I mean, also
he got injured.
Also, it doesn't matter.
He got injured.
Also, it doesn't matter because they got rid of and I think he was overrated anyway. But they got rid of Durant, you improve a corner for a corner, but then you're still not necessarily you're still like marginally better.
Like they maybe moved up an inch, but I even also just feel for the Ty Simpson situation because. Like, McVay wasn't even happy.
Yeah.
McVay wasn't thrilled. So that looks so bad because this kid is, like, crying to him on the phone. And he's like, yeah, no, have a good night. And then he's like, I'm not happy. Like, I'm like, this was not my pick. Like, all that stuff. Like,
it's how to, I think this is a masterclass on how to ruin a Super. How to ruin a Super Bowl window.
Let me give my point of view here. I don't hate them picking Simpson because it's just like the Jordan Love learning under Aaron Rodgers. You have a young guy who can come in and learn under a quarterback who plays similar to him that's one of the best in the league. 13 was way too early. I think you trade back there. And you could trade back. God, you could probably get him in the late 20s.
Do you think Ty Simpson is this is what it comes down to for me. Do you think Ty Simpson is a quarterback that the Rams can win a Super Bowl with? Because I think the NFL, more so than any other league in the world, and I stand by this, You either be really bad.
Yes, I do.
You either really bad or you build a team or you have a team that you think can win the Super Bowl. I hate teams that are like, let's build to try and make the playoffs. And then it's just like, all right, you can be a 7 seed for all you want, like the Steelers. It doesn't matter. Like you either got to be, you think you can win a Super Bowl or be really bad. And I don't think Ty Simpson can win a Super Bowl for them. I think if they drafted Reuben Bain, they win a Super Bowl.
Need a lot of weapons on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
When Tom Brady was selected in the 6th round of the draft, did people think that the Patriots are going to win a Super Bowl with him? No.
The Patriots had a top 10 defense. The Rams don't have a top 10 defense. That's pretty simple.
Did people think that the Patriots would win a Super Bowl?
And Julian Edelman too.
Did people think the Patriots were going to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady when they drafted him?
Well, no, but he was also drafted way later than Ty Simpson was.
All I'm saying is whatever you see now, it doesn't equate to whatever you're going to see 2-3 years down the line when Ty Simpson has had time to learn under
Stafford.
Who
will Ty Simpson's weapons be, by the way? Because Davante Adams won't be there.
Puka?
Puka might not be there.
No, Puka's been practicing with them. Puka's been practicing with them.
Oh, yeah. I just think in a few years, if they don't win a ring.
I just think Puka just needs to get his act together before he gets himself into a lot more trouble, which I think he's trying to figure out.
Who else? Yeah, Puka's good. Yeah, Puka's amazing.
They'll draft someone.
Will they?
Yeah.
I mean, that
team is not...
They'll
get like a Cam Coleman.
But again, Matthew Stafford is what makes that team, and I don't think Ty Simpson's production will be anywhere near enough, at least in his first couple years, to win a Super Bowl with them. And it's like, Ari Shahi, it just doesn't make any sense. I think you could have locked up a Super Bowl in this draft, and they didn't. And I think that is because the GM knows that his quarterback and head coach are gone in probably 2 to 3 years and is trying to make something with that. And I think it's going
to... He's trying to prepare. He's trying to not have to go full rebuild.
Win a Super Bowl before you start preparing.
Look. I get that.
No, but they have a...
They have one.
No, but they have a window. Yeah, it was 6 years ago.
But they won one.
Yeah, but they have a window now to win more. The whole point is NFL... Dude,
yeah, you said at least get one. They got one.
At least get one in this window, I'm saying.
This is the same window, isn't it?
No, it's a different window.
How is this a different window?
It's been 6 years. And they didn't have Puka.
Well, also because they didn't even make the playoffs a couple years ago. So I think it is a different window. But I don't even care about the fact that, like, yes, do I feel for Simpson and the whole situation with him? Like, I don't care that they picked, like, I don't think they should have picked him that high. That is the problem here. They could have picked a much higher person, and they just completely sold the bag on a 13th pick. Like, you could have had somebody else, and they should have picked somebody else. And I get about securing your spot, but you at the end of the day, you can even say the Tom Brady argument. You don't need a first-round quarterback to take you to the Super Bowl.
You don't.
I'm just saying they needed another huge weapon on defense.
You need a good O-line and a D-line, which they both could have used and proven
on. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying they should not have picked that high.
D-line. I kind of like their D-line.
No, their D-line needs their D-line needs another player. That's why they lost genuinely the reason they lost the Seahawks is because they couldn't sack Sam Darnold enough. That's why they need more D-line help. They need more secondary help too. Their defense is a very big problem, in my opinion. And Jared Verse is great. I think Jared Verse might be, I think they might still, the thing with the Rams though is I think they are still probably front runners in my opinion to trade for one of the bigger name D linemen or sign one of the bigger name D linemen, but
I just don't even know who they would even be willing to get rid of or if they would even give up draft picks. Like, what do you think if they were to, like, what would they give up in order to fill those spots in trades?
Yeah, but they spent a lot of their draft picks.
Nah, they're no stranger to throwing their first round picks around.
I suppose,
This was their first one in years. They like to trade away their firsts.
Yeah, I think the one thing that was annoying me, I think, because the Bills do what the Bills do best is just trade all of their first round draft picks to get a million more lower draft picks, which I still don't understand why they do that. But whatever.
I think they did that better than the Niners did, though. The Niners tried that as well. And
I still think it was stupid. But I'm just hoping that there is some difference now that Joe Brady is the head coach, which I highly doubt. But we'll see. I'm just curious about what people think about the Jeremiah Love situation.
It's a horrible pick. I said it on the live show. I think it's such a bad pick. I feel bad for Jeremiah Love. I feel bad for Tyler Allgeier, who went there.
Great player, bad pick.
Yeah. Tyler Allgeier left the Falcons for the sole reason of he was tired of being under Bijan.
Second option.
And then he goes and they immediately draft Jeremiah Love. And then they draft Carson Beck in the third round. And I'm so excited as a Seahawks fan. I can't wait. Jeremiah Love's great. Not exactly afraid to play him twice a year, though.
Because there's no offensive
line.
There's no offensive line.
And then if Carson Beck or Jacoby Brissett's the quarterback, like, whatever. Yeah, it's a tough situation. I said it during the draft show. I think it's more of about getting fans' butts in seats pick than it is about a smart actual NFL pick. I think they blew it personally. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Where do you think he should have gone?
I think he should have gone to the Titans.
I like their Carnell Tate pick.
No, I do too. I just think it makes sense for him. Or, I mean, the Giants too. Like, none of those I would mind. If I could choose any team to see him play on, though, honestly, I think I would choose the Saints. I like the Saints. I think they're an exciting team.
Yeah.
They drafted Jordan Tyson. I believe in Tyler Shuck. Maybe that's my Oregon bias coming through, but he played pretty well.
He's a good kid. Good kid.
Yeah. I think my winner of the draft, though, is the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. The Browns did draft really well.
I like that they drafted two wide receivers high as well, because their wide receiver one's Jerry Jeudy, and it's kind of one of those things where they were just like, all right, one of these dudes has to be decent, you know?
Oh, I think Jerry Judy's going to walk soon.
Yeah, I like Boston, honestly, more than Concepcion, but I think it's great. They're continuing to build what they need to build.
They got a gadget guy in Concepcion. Yeah. Boston's big receiver, and then getting McNeil Warren in the second round too, late in the second round. Mm-hmm. He was like borderline first round talent. Yeah, I saw mocks with him in the top 20.
Yeah, oh, yeah, McNeil Warren, yeah, amazing. If I'm allowed really quickly before we go wrap this up, Seahawks really quick. I like Jadarian Price. It sounds like the Seahawks wanted to pick Chris Johnson, and that was their plan, a corner, but good pick by the Dolphins to pick him up at 27. And they were going to trade up for Jadarian Price in the second round if they drafted Chris Johnson. I like Jadarian Price. I mean, he is the second best running back in the class. It's weird that he is it's weird selecting a backup that high, but he actually
two Notre Dame running backs.
Led the NFL. I mean, he led college football in explosive play rate. So he's what the Seahawks need. The Seahawks need more explosive plays from running backs. I think he'll be great. I really like the Seahawks round two pick, Bud Clark, ball hawking safety. What the Seahawks kind of Seahawks DNA. But for me, I think the Seahawks best pick of the draft was in the fourth round, and that was when, oh my gosh, not the fourth round, I think it was the fifth round, actually, the Seahawks went O-lineman, which, I mean, it's what I was harping on the whole time. Go with Bo Stevens from Iowa. I think he's amazing, a guard, really fits in that role, and honestly has the potential to be a starter really early on in the season, especially if Bradford doesn't do well. And then, Julian Neal from Arkansas, probably the most athletic corner in the draft. Mm-hmm. And then Fuller and Dansby are like, again, you just get cornerbacks in the building. You need cornerbacks. And it's always like late rounds.
Late rounds are projects. It's guys who have high ceilings but low floors.
Yeah, you draft them and then hope that they impress you a lot in training camp, you know, and they have the potential. But no, I was happy with that. Brendan, should we do – I like this. I think really early post-draft Super Bowl predictions –
everyone's gonna pick their own team.
No, my AFC team is gonna be interesting.
Sure, I mean, you lead us off then.
I think Seahawks in the Super Bowl again, in LA, and I think the Seahawks play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Really?
I don't actually hate that. I think Mahomes will be back pretty early on. I think Nussmeier might actually start weeks one and two. But Delaney is great. Kenneth Walker is perfect for them. I think it's more because I don't believe in any of the other teams in the AFC personally, and I just think Mahomes is good enough, and maybe Travis Kelce final ride. And then the Seahawks, obviously, I think A.J. Barner has the potential to be the best tight end in football.
I love A.J. Barner.
Especially now the Seahawks got the OC, or the tight ends coach from the Niners to be the OC. The only issue is he hasn't called plays offensively. That's my only worry, but I think the Seahawks haven't really lost anything, and I think they'll still make a move in free agency for a DN. So I think Seahawks beat the Cowboys or the Rams in the NFC Championship, and then I think the Chiefs beat the Broncos in the AFC Championship.
Okay. You want to go next? You want me to go?
It's so early, so I don't even know.
It's way too early predictions.
Have some fun with it.
Way too early predictions.
I'm just trying to think of like last year's playoffs and like who was in it.
I think the Bears are a team that are significantly worse this year than they were last year.
I think they'll make it. They'll like just barely make it to the wild card and then lose it.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I think this can
be. If you want, I can go.
Why don't you go and then it might spark some inspiration.
I think this is hard because I think this is one of the most wide open NFL seasons in a very long time.
I agree.
I've obviously my Cowboys. I think we're gonna have a huge bounce back year this year, especially after killing the draft and adding a lot of defense in free agency as well.
CeeDee Lamb back for hopefully the full season this time.
Yep, CeeDee back for the full season. Pickens signed the tag. Offense should be great. Defense has improved a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think you only need with that offense. You really just need like an average defense.
Yeah, you guys You guys were great. We had the biggest fraud safety defense ever,
and we still won seven games.
Yeah, no.
So I think we actually make, well, I don't want to jinx anything, but there's a chance. And then I got the Broncos coming out of the AFC.
I don't hate that.
They were first in the AFC West last year, 14-3. They filled a lot of their needs.
What do you think Bo Nix is going to be? Did you see the picture?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, his knee, his leg
like
is like
this.
Alex
this is
Smith
what his
levels.
Leg was like. You had his knee, and then you had his calf going in like this and then sloping out.
I think the scary—
He'll recover, and I love Jonah Coleman, their second, their fourth-round pick, the running back out of Washington.
They got
he was
Waddle
one of my
too.
Favorite. They did get Waddle. They added to their receiver room. Coleman was actually one of my favorite running back prospects just because he's such a good pass blocker, and he's so, like— He's so gritty.
They also have the best O-line in football. The only reason why they haven't made it to that final stage is because Bo Nix statistically leaves the most yards on the field out of any quarterback in the NFL. And for me, the scary thing is, no joke, I think if Bo Nix can figure out his deep ball and really connect with his receivers, I genuinely think the Broncos probably win two or three Super Bowls in their in this
I think
Bo Nix
the
window.
Super Bowl is going to be Seahawks and Broncos.
See, I almost went with that because of the script of, like, Seahawks played the Patriots last year in the Niners stadium. And then, oh, dude, if the Seahawks win back-to-back Super Bowls in the Niners and the Rams stadium, I don't know if I'll ever—
Because here's the thing. If Bo Nix wasn't injured, I think that the Broncos could have beat the Patriots.
Yeah. I agree. I think Seahawks— oh, I think
Sorry,
they
Joe.
I think even without Bo Nix, they probably honestly should have won that game.
They were close,
it wasn't a snow globe, I think they win that game. But— I think the Broncos Seahawks would be a crazy shootout. I would lean Broncos in that as a Seahawks fan. I think the Broncos defense would get some interceptions off of Sam Darnold, and I think that they're a lot. And with the Seahawks, I just think they're such a complete team. The Broncos.
Broncos are electric right now. As much as I don't like Sean Payton, like as just as a person, I just think that the Broncos are electric right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with, like, dude, Courtland Sutton as, like, second or third option. People, I think, underrate how just, like, impossible to guard Courtland Sutton is. He's like DK Metcalf, just, like, a little bit, you know what I mean? He's up there in the same level of just, like, crazy receiver. And I actually think Bo Nix could have done a better job of finding him more. So if they could just really string things together. And they also have a really good head coach.
They do.
Yeah. They're great.
They're set to be a great team again next year, but that is going to do it for us here on this standalone episode of NFL Friday. The draft just happened. For Griffin Stevenson, Vanessa Casuto, Joe Henry in the back, I am Brendan Shorey. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.